Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, December 29th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Civil servants have finally been paid their delayed salaries that have raised a stink due to unexplained pay deductions.
We are very much worried and disturbed by sudden payments raised. The government has taken it upon itself never to consult but doing things unilaterally.
The majority of business operators in Zimbabwe say 2015 was one of the worst years.
And Zifa have offered Callisto Pasua a 3-year coaching contract.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Furious civil servants were finally paid their delayed December salaries today, with teachers' unions claiming that they were unexplained deductions. Manyo Onyao, chief executive of the Teachers' Union of Zimbabwe, and Raymond Majongwe of the Progressive Teachers' Union say teachers are angry over deductions ranging from $30 to $50 per person. They say the deductions are not clearly stated, but indications are that they are for pension schemes. The PTUZ says time has come to fight against what it calls exploitation by the government. Nyawo tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri the Zimbabwe Teachers Union, through the Apex Council, has sought an urgent meeting with the government early next week to discuss the salary deductions.
We are in the collection of the steps that the government has unilaterally and without even consulting with the relevant stakeholders made deductions on the basis of all civil servants, a thing or a development that does not go well with us as civil servants, especially considering that we are a union representing the same, especially the teachers themselves. We are very much worried and disturbed by sudden payments raised. The government has taken it upon itself never to consult, but doing things unilaterally without even consulting staff associations like ourselves. We are very much disturbed and would want the government to really reverse its decision, because that decision is coming at a time when it is well known that civil servants in general are really saving to meet and meet.
Are you going to take any action against this development?
We have since made a decision under the guise of Apex Council, a body that represents all civil servants, that we are going to meet government on the 6th of January, where such issues or complaints are going to be tabled.
Do you think the government is going to reverse this decision?
What I know for a fact is that we are dealing with a government that is expected to be sensitive to its own citizens. And in that regard, we are saying government must take heed if it is to really consider the plight of its employees or workforce.
That was Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Chief Executive Officer Manyo Onyao in Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. In a related development, three members of the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe today appeared before a Harare magistrate facing charges of allegedly resisting arrest. Rabson Nyere, Secretary General of the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, tells us more about the arrest.
Our members of the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe were arrested the day before yesterday when they were caucusing on mobilizing for a demonstration against the government's failure to pay civil servants bonuses at Kwazana 2, and they were taken and detained at Kwazana 2 police station. Today they've appeared before Mbare Magistrate Court.
What was the outcome of their appearance in court today?
The trial has been postponed for Mr. Obed Masaraure, who is the president of the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. Has been postponed to 14 January 2016, and for Mr. Pride Mkona and Mr. Pride Gawa, the case was postponed to 15 January 2016.
What were they being accused of?
there was no clear charges as of yesterday about why were they accused. But after the lawyer came, that's when they tried to build cases that they were resisting arrest. But the nature of the arrest, why they were being arrested, it wasn't clear. So they had to come up with charges for resisting arrest. And now they're saying partly they assaulted the police when they were about to be arrested for no charges.
How are they saying they were being treated while in detention?
When they were in the custody, even on the way to the custody, they were beaten. They sustained several injuries in the custody. They were stripped naked. Mr. Pride Mkono was stripped naked the whole night and the whole day, to such an extent that when the lawyer who is representing them from the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, when he arrived, he was still naked. And Mr. Pride Mkono again was dipped in mud. They were saying they want to baptize him so that he can reform.
That was Robson Chere, Secretary General of the Road Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, speaking with us from Harare.
Zimbabwe's economy ends 2015 with predictions that prices will continue falling in the new year. But as Sebastian Mofu reports for VOA from Harare, economists say that trend may not benefit anyone.
Most Zimbabweans seem to be worse off today than in 2009, when the Southern African nation abandoned its worthless currency and started using multiple currencies, chief being the US dollar. After years of staggering inflation, prices stabilize and things have changed course. There is now deflation in Zimbabwe. But John Robertson, an independent economist in Harare, explains that is not the good news it sounds like to either Zimbabweans and President Robert Mugabe's government.
Deflation is normally associated with people having money to spend but choosing not to buy the things they want because they will be cheaper next month or in 2 or 3 months' time. What's been shrinking in Zimbabwe is the buying power. Government's incomes are only payable out of tax revenues, and the tax revenues are going down. So government is out of step with the developments in the market.
Robertson says given the revenue and economic situation, the government should be shrinking its activities. Gift Mungano is a senior economics lecturer at the University of Zimbabwe and a government consultant. He sums up Zimbabwe's journey from hyperinflation to deflation, both economic situations that have caused pain to most Zimbabweans. Part of the problem is the weak South African rand and Zambian kwacha, which has cut prices for the large amount of goods Zimbabwe buys from those two countries.
That's a major force causing deflation. But there's also another one which is going to remain with us permanently for medium to long-term future. Constrained demand, reduced demand has become a cancer in the bone marrow in Zimbabwe. Low incomes has become the second enemy under the US dollar. So people are not spending. So companies are disparate.
So in Zimbabwe, there were no goods to buy in 2009. Now there's no money to buy the available goods at the close of 2015. Both Mugano and Robertson said there's need to create investments to create a broader revenue base and employment in Zimbabwe to address the issue of deflation. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
Hello, I'm Dimiake Mwakalielie with Studio 7. Tell us how you are. Are you hopeful about 2016? Send us your audio and video messages on WhatsApp. You may receive a radio and calendar just for doing so. Remember to include your address when you send us the messages. Our number is 1-202-465-318. Again, 1-202-465-0318. We're also on Facebook.
Thank you to those of you who have responded and sent us your festive season greetings. Here is one of the messages we've received and would like some more from you.
Good evening, Studio 7. My name is Winfred Malkongwa-Tuwe. I live in South Africa, Soweto, Dobsonville. I'd like to greet my family and friends in Zimbabwe. Say hello, have a happy new year and a healthy festive season. Love you all.
We want to hear from you out there, so please send us your audio and video messages on WhatsApp. We will give out some calendars and radio receivers to those who send us these messages and also include your address when you send us the messages. Our number is 1-202-465-318. That number again, 1-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook. Don't forget to like us.
Millions of people in sub-Saharan Africa are facing hunger due to the current El Nino weather phenomenon that has caused some droughts in several nations. Most farmers in Zimbabwe's Mashonaland West province, as our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa reports, are feeling the impact of this devastating weather pattern worsened by what they think are changing climatic conditions in the country.
A combination of drought and heat waves, which the meteorological department attributes to the El Nino phenomena, has hit most parts of Zimbabwe, including the maize-producing belt. The El Nino that emanated from warming sea surface temperatures appears to be living up to the expectations as it is causing extreme weather patterns in Zimbabwe and beyond. This comes at a time the World Food Program says about 850,000 people of the 1.5 million Zimbabweans who are food insecure urgently need food aid due to poor harvests in previous farming seasons. Farmers in Mashonaland West believe it's not only the El Nino phenomena that is ravaging the region as the climate appears to have shifted, leaving them with no specific time for planting crops. They say climate change caused by various factors, including high carbon emissions, is largely to blame for previous crop failures. Lion's Den farmer Gertrude Chamboko says the visible shift in season is causing havoc in most regions in Zimbabwe.
In most cases, the rains are late and people delay in cultivating their fields. When they start thinking of planting their seeds, time for doing so is normally over.
Her sentiments are echoed by farming expert Peter Gambara, who says there must be a planting system normally followed by farmers. Gambara adds that the system should clearly indicate when farmers are supposed to cultivate their fields.
Systems that are able to tell farmers when to prepare, when to plant, what varieties to plant, and what varieties to produce.
The meteorological department could not be drawn to comment on the farmers' claims of a slight shift in agricultural seasons, saying it needs to conduct a thorough analysis of cropping patterns before issuing statements. Makonde farmer Pedzai Chishiri says problems faced by most farmers can be addressed through the revival of irrigation schemes.
Irrigation schemes can help people a lot in the sense that at times when there are no rains, people can use irrigation schemes to cultivate their crops.
His views are echoed by Chinoi farmer Joel Kasim, who says it is dangerous to depend on rains for subsistence food production.
It is now time to invest much in irrigation since depending on natural rainfall is a risk business.
Some blame the meteorological department for failing to inform the nation about the changes taking place in seasons. Farmer Tagari Samberi says this important department is normally predicting wrong rainfall patterns.
The Met department is failing us because they were not spot on in terms of focusing what the weather will be like. Such information is vital to the farm. Maybe they are using outdated machines.
The meteorological department has over the years expressed the concern that it is using almost obsolete equipment while operating on a shoestring budget. Some experts have indicated that climate change may be the major cause of recent disasters like floods, which displaced more than 20,000 people in Masvingo province and thousands of villagers in other regions. Many say the once productive state-owned Agricultural Rural Development Authority, or ADA, is a crucial missing link in promoting irrigation, and if it is run efficiently, it can ensure food security. ADA, which runs 21 farming estates countrywide, is working on reviving production and is said to have acquired irrigation equipment at several estates through public-private partnership. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoye, this is Ata Achigoriwa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
the majority of business operators in Zimbabwe say 2015 was one of the worst in years.
And Zifa offer Callisto Pasua a 3-year coaching contract.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Burkina Faso has a new leader for the first time in nearly 30 years as President Roch Marc Kabore took the oath of office today.
The U.S. military says an Islamic State leader with direct links to the alleged ringleader of last month's terrorist attacks in Paris was killed in a coalition airstrike in Syria.
Iraqi forces today worked to clear Islamic State fighters from Ramadi after recapturing the government compound in the key western city.
And Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel will cut short a family vacation to Cuba after police in the city fatally shot a 19-year-old male student and a 55-year-old mother of five on Saturday.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Despite some improvement in the ease of doing business in Zimbabwe this year, the business environment remained subdued, with some industries shut or operating below capacity, forcing the government to revise downwards its economic growth forecast from a projected 3.1% to 1.5% this year. The majority of business operators say the year 2015 was one of the worst in years. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Business organizations say they faced many challenges ranging from power shortages, stiff competition from imports, political uncertainty, and a generally unfavorable business environment. Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce Chief Executive Officer Takunda Mugaga said business was seriously affected by power outages, which saw the power utility embarking on long hours of load shedding throughout the country. Infighting and instability in the ruling ZANU-PF was also a cause for concern for business in the country. He added that Zimbabwean businesses continued to face stiff competition from imports, and this resulted in loss of jobs. The July High Court ruling which gave express powers to employers to fire workers on 3 months' notice, resulted in the loss of thousands of jobs in the country. President of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailers, Denford Mutashu, said 2015 was a challenging year for most businesses in the country.
Where we seek to have more attention and focus basically is the manufacturing industry. The manufacturing sector, where we believe if we can have improved production, and if we can have a scenario where the figures will start to move to the positives in terms of the capacity utilization and industry competitiveness, and of course the pricing regime, I think those are the basic areas that we would definitely require to see a shift.
Mutashu said despite the prevailing harsh economic environment, they managed to stay afloat and are optimistic that business in the retail sector will pick up. Even small business people like Patience Joe, who sells chicken, said business has been low throughout the year, with most people surviving on buying on credit.
Most of the people who buy, you end up giving people on credit, and at the end of the day, they say they'll pay probably after 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But at times, you always have those bad debtors who do not pay as they have promised.
However, Mugaga and Mutashu said it's pleasing that government is taking steps to improve the ease of doing business in the country. Added that the country could be on a good path to recovery as both business and government are now working in harmony. ZANU-PF activist and young businesswoman Evelyn Pande said, though the year was tough, there are signs that full implementation of President Robert Mugabe's 10-point plan will improve the business environment.
Obviously, it has been tough in Zimbabwe, but as ZANU-PF youths, we are looking forward to 2016 with the president's 10-point. Signs are already showing that Zimbabwe is progressing towards development.
Zimbabwe this year jumped to 155 out of 189 nations on the World Bank Ease of Doing Business after government embarked on reforms to amend laws that scare away investors. However, the much-feared regulations compelling foreign-owned firms to part with equity stakes of 51% remains intact, with indications that there is discord in the government on changing the Indigenization and Economic Empowerment Act to accommodate coward foreigners. To ensure competitiveness of the local industry, government has engaged a French company, Bureau Veritas, to stop the flow of substandard products into the country. Zimbabwe in November also reached a debt payment agreement with the Bretton Woods institutions to settle its $1.8 billion debt, and experts say this could result in the country accessing cheap money from international institutions to boost collapsing industries. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Tunisia, where the Arab Spring was born, democratic progress continues. On a recent visit there, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said, "The eyes of the world are on Tunisia, and America wants Tunisia to succeed." Despite great hardships and two major terrorist attacks, Tunisia has turned time and again to peaceful dialogue, consensus building, and compromise. As a result, Tunisia has built a powerful front against the Islamic extremists who oppose freedom, democracy, and everything that the Tunisian people are striving to build. The United States is committed to helping Tunisia move forward on its economic, democratic, and security objectives. The United States has already provided more than $700 million in foreign assistance to Tunisia since 2011, in the form of direct aid to democracy building, assistance for elections and civil society organizations, and security support. That's why the United States supports Tunisia's ambitious economic reform agenda. The government has proposed specific reforms, which they have forwarded now to the parliament. In an effort to help Tunisia achieve its goals, the U.S. has signed a declaration of intent, signifying its readiness to grant a third loan guarantee to Tunisia. In order to protect Tunisia's emerging democracy and growing prosperity, it is essential to enhance security cooperation. Toward that end, President Barack Obama recently announced his intent to designate Tunisia a major non-NATO ally. The U.S. will continue to stand with Tunisia in addressing all terrorist threats. Indeed, the United States welcomes Tunisia's decision to join the global counter-ISIL coalition in September. The terrorists associated with ISIL need to know this. Their days are numbered, and they will be defeated. There is no future, no path forward for ISIL, which does not lead ultimately to its destruction. The United States is committed to standing with the Tunisian people, to deepening the growing partnership that both nations share, and to continuing to support Tunisia's democratic journey.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in sports news, some good news coming from Zifa, which has offered Warriors coach Calisto Pasua a 3-year contract after paying some of his outstanding salaries and allowances. This comes at a time the country's national soccer squad is enjoying a new lease of life. Reporter Michael Cariati has more details.
The good news is that Pasua, who was kicked out recently under controversial circumstances and reinstated following a public outcry and ministerial intervention, is about to sign a contract with the Football Federation. Pasua and Zifa were not at liberty to discuss the details of the contract, though the Warriors' mentor indicated that he's currently looking into the contract handed over to him a few days ago. He did not have a contract under the Kabedwele Zifa board, which was booted out of office 3 months ago and replaced by one led by businessman Philip Chiangwa, following accusations of failing to properly run soccer in Zimbabwe. Meanwhile, for the first time in years, Zimbabwe's Warriors are enjoying life in camp with no complaints over accommodation and food or non-payment of allowances. All the players scored are in camp with the exception of goalkeeper Takaba Mawaya of Wange, who has returned home due to a shoulder injury, and teenage Hadebe of Islanders, who has been excused to attend to his sick mother. The Warriors are in camp preparing for the 2016 African Nations Championships, Orochan, which will run in Rwanda from January 16 to February 7. There's so much happiness and unity in camp that Captain Danny Piri, who has not been training due to an injury, is promising that the Warriors will this time around reach the final or probably bring the trophy back home.
I would like to promise them that we'll go through to the finals this time.
Even coach Calisto Pasua is a happy man after receiving his dues as a fulfillment of a promise made by Zifa president Philip Chiangwa during his election time.
What Zifa requires at the moment is somebody where we shall to be able to first and foremost ensure that the contract signed by footballers are honored, that they are paid on time, that the coaches are paid on time.
Just like his captain, Pasua is confident that the Warriors will negotiate their way from their group stages and go all the way to the final.
As team that played in the Chan, we went all the way to the semi-finals, and we want to do better than that.
As part of their preparations, Chiangwa says they've arranged a friendly match against neighbors Mozambique at a date still to be announced. He told the players to compensate their loss of participation in the 2018 World Cup with a good show in Pan-African football, adding that Zifa, on their part, will do their best.
Missed out on the 2018 competition, so this is our only way of consoling ourselves, and we've got to do the best that we can. I trust that you can see they're practicing, and the coach is there, with his full team there. I believe they have satisfied themselves right now that they should train and compensate the 2018 loss.
The last time the Warriors were African Nations Championships, the Zimbabweans finished fourth behind winners Libya, runners-up Ghana, and third place Nigeria in South Africa in 2014. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host of The Connection will be talking with studio guests and listeners about education in Zimbabwe and beyond.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Civil servants have been finally paid delayed salaries that have raised a stink due to unexplained pay deductions.
And Zifa have offered Callisto Pasua a three-year contract, a coaching contract.
That's our broadcast this evening. Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages. And now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye saying good night.